Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 8 through 15 this morning. And we're going to talk about the shepherds and the angelic announcement this morning. So here we are, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign unto you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Verse 13, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Let's pray this morning before we carry on. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this Christmas story, Lord. And though we talk about it every year, we just pray, Lord God, that you will bring freshness to our hearts because of what was accomplished on the miracle of that first Christmas. And so take these things, Lord God, and use them to stir our hearts this morning. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen. Today's about the shepherds, folks. And, you know, if we've been around church any amount, really, if we've sort of grew up in Canadian culture at all, we are pretty aware of the Christmas story, right? We're pretty aware of all the elements. We see the nativities, we see the stars and the angels, we see Mary and Joseph and the baby, we see about the wise men, and we see about the shepherds. We are fairly familiar with what took place in the Christmas story. And so this morning I want to share not just what took place about the shepherds and the angel, but I want us to dig into it a little bit and try and understand why and what does this mean for us. Now, Luke tells us about the shepherds and the angels visiting them, but we have to ask ourselves why, Luke, of all the things that were taking place around the birth of Jesus, did you tell us about the shepherds? You see, the gospel writer Matthew tells us about the magi or the wise men who came and brought gifts, but Luke doesn't really tell us about that. Luke was just telling us about the shepherds once they got there to Bethlehem. And so why, Luke, are you telling us about shepherds? Now, sometimes us preachers get up here at Christmas time and we overuse the fact that shepherds were dirty and smelly and bottom-rung kind of people in the Jewish culture. And I mean, to be sure, shepherding, not that I've ever done it, certainly wasn't a 9-to-5 kind of a job. Shepherding wasn't a clean job either, where you'd put on your best clothing and you'd come home and they'd still be okay. My brother went sheeping, which is similar to shepherding, for a while. And I remember Mom would tell me that I was away in university then. When he would come home, she'd make him take everything off and go right to the bathroom. And it would go in the washer and dryer that is in the porch right inside the door. Because apparently sheep don't smell well. And when you spend a couple days on an island with sheep, it doesn't turn out too well for you. But shepherds were subjected to the weather. They were outside. They were cold. They had to fight off wild animals that might want to hurt the sheep. It sounds a lot like lobster fishing, except you're not fighting off the wild animals part when you're lobster fishing. But the shepherds, they were important in the Jewish culture too, for nothing else aside the fact that they needed a lot of lambs to fulfill their obligations under the sacrificial system. And so the shepherds, maybe they weren't as despised and considered ceremonially unclean as we thought. In fact, David, King David, was the nation of Israel's shepherd become a king. But we don't read in Scripture that shepherds had the authority and the power that maybe we read about last week, Caesar Augustus and Governor Quirinius. And in this statement alone, Luke is contrasting these two and telling us something a little bit about the why. Because when Jesus came, the miracle of Christmas started fulfilling prophecies that had been given in the Old Testament. And one of these prophecies is found in Joel 2. You recall the prophecy, Joel 2, verse 28? In those last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And we see here in the story of Christmas, we see that the message of Jesus coming, we see that angelic visitations are not just for the noble and the elite, but they are also for the shepherds who might have never known. This birth is for all people. And it is the beginning of the fulfillment of some of these prophecies in the Old Testament. But in addition to why shepherds, there's something else here too that I find fascinating that the gospel writer Luke includes. He doesn't tell us about just shepherds. He tells us where they were when they received this angelic visitation. The glory of the Lord was revealed to the shepherds. Where? In a field. It doesn't say that the shepherds went into town to attend a gathering at the local synagogue, and while they were there, the Lord spoke to them. It doesn't say that. And it doesn't say either that the shepherds had built an altar and they were sacrificing lambs, and in the context of that sacrifice, God spoke to them. It doesn't say the shepherds were doing anything particularly spiritual at all. In fact, who remembers the old Christmas carol, "While shepherds watched their flocks by night"? Anyone remember that? Anyone recall that? Okay, just for old time's sake, let's sing it. This side, we'll start, and we'll see if we can remember the first two lines, and we'll see if you guys can remember the second two. No opening the hymnal, okay? Promise? Okay, so let's start. Clear your throats, get ready, here we go. You're Grace's cantata next year, "While shepherds watch their..." I don't think Grace wants you for your cantata next year. It goes like this. "While shepherds watched..." There we go. "By night all..." There we go. Okay, good. You guys got the first two lines. Good job. So "while shepherds watched their flocks by night..." We made up the part "they were seated on the ground." We made it up when we wrote the carol. Scripture doesn't say they were seated. They might have been standing, laying. Who knows? So you guys remember the second two lines? Okay, "while shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, an angel of the..." Here we go. "And glory..." There you go, Grace. "And glory shone..." There you go. Nice. Okay, give both sides a round of applause for that. This was audition for cantata next year. Grace, take notes. We didn't make up any of that second part when we wrote the hymn. "The angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone around." Scripture and the Christmas carol both agree that the shepherds were just doing their job. They were just tending the sheep. They were just minding their business, maybe sitting, maybe standing, who knows, maybe even laying on the ground. And in that moment, in broke the angel of the Lord with a message. And after the message was shared, then the whole heavenly host, which is an army of angels, came round and they sang, and the glory of God was revealed to them. And this is significant, folks, for this reason. Because up until this particular moment, the meeting place between heaven and earth, the meeting place between the divine and the human, was the sanctuary of the temple in Jerusalem. But here, at this Christmas time, in this story that we read about the shepherds that we might take for granted in some moments, but here in this particular story, divine and heaven were meeting together in a field outside at night. Folks, we call this space, we call this the sanctuary because we've set aside this space for gathering together and for meeting together and for facilitating those divine human encounters. And we put this space to really good use. I'm sure those of us here this morning can think of ways that God has moved in our hearts, in our lives, and done magnificent things in this particular space. Even this past year, when we look back on 2019, there were testimonies of God's healing grace, and there were testimonies of people feeling called to ministry. There were testimonies of people's salvations. We heard them when we baptized people, and we do that all here in this space. This is special space for us because we set it aside to do that. It's kind of like the china dishes that you have that you use at Christmas. We don't have anything like that because we have four young children and we're not sure how those would fare if we brought them out to use them at Christmas time. In fact, we use really nice dishes sometimes that look nice but actually are plastic. And that way, if they get broken, it's okay. We'll just go to the dollar store and get new ones because we have four children. But they're special to us because we use them for special functions and special features. Folks, this is what the shepherds told us. This is the why. For the first time at Christmas time, no longer was God just confined to a particular space or to a particular spot. It was starting to unleash a chain reaction of things where God was going to be everywhere and God was going to minister to people's hearts anywhere they were, not just in a temple, in a synagogue, but in shepherds' hearts and on a field. In fact, there were spaces that God was going to fill up that he previously wasn't there before. I shared when I first came here 2 years ago, if you remember, 2.5 years ago, my very first series for you was We Are Evangel. You and I, we are the church. When we talk about the church in town, it's not the building. This happens to just be a useful place where we can come and where we can gather. We weren't always here. Other times we were other places. And when we started, we weren't even in a church building. Period. We were in, you know, a rented hall over top of Lovett Plaza, used to be the Metropolitan. We were in a place over that, people tell me, when Evangel first started their gatherings. And our Pentecostal movement started in a warehouse on Azusa Street. And we have church plants right now, Église du Phare, that meet in a fire hall up on the French shore. And so we understand that this shepherds in a field story that we sing about, that we hear about, but the why of that tells us that things were starting to happen. God was starting to pour his spirit out in ways never before. We understand that with this coming of Jesus, God announced that there was a new order that was coming and it was going to be radically different than the one before. We celebrated Easter time, the tearing of the curtain in the temple, so that we can meet God face to face. And so God's glory in this day is not just confined to a sanctuary or not just confined to a room where we gather together. The glory of God shows up here, there, and everywhere. We pray here. We pray with people on the street. People are healed here. We can pray with people outside at the hospital in homes, and God can show up and they can be healed there too. People can meet in small groups in homes, and the word of God can come and prophetic words can come through people, and it doesn't have to happen just to one space and place. Locations, folks, are significant to us because they have memories. And we need a place to gather. I mean, what would you do if Evangel said, no longer are we going to have a building, sign up for who wants to host the gathering next Sunday at their house? Any takers? Want Evangel to come over next Sunday? We won't stay long, we promise. We can bring our own folding chairs. Doesn't matter. Who said that? Do we have a taker? Oh, there we go. It sounded like Dave Watkins for a minute, and I was going to say, did you check with Doris? But the story of the shepherds reminds us of this. The story of the shepherds reminds us that we don't worship a location, or we don't worship a room, or we don't worship a facility. What is most important is the worship that happens from our hearts, the expression of devotion to God that happens for our hearts when we gather in that room, and most importantly, when we gather outside of that room. And so the shepherds, who were certainly not nobility, they weren't unclean and rejected by the Jews, but they weren't nobility. They were the servants that the prophet Joel talks about. They heard from an angel, and they heard on a hillside, not in the sanctuary, not in the synagogue. And they heard and saw the glory of God. And this is what the angel said: "Do not be afraid." I think it would be pretty frightening if an angel showed up. And so frequently in scripture, you see the first thing angels say is, "Don't be afraid. It's okay. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." How many of you have heard that phrase before? Seen it written on Christmas cards? It's an iconic phrase in our celebration of Christmas. And every time we read this passage about the shepherds, I can see the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Is it Charlie Brown that reads it at the end, or is it Linus? Linus reading at the end, "And lo, there were shepherds." I looked up "lo" this week. What's "lo" have to do with it? And "lo" was just simply an old English word that said, "Listen up, this is something important." So, you know, Linus might as well have said, "Hey, listen, there were shepherds," except he said, "And lo." And so these words are iconic in our celebration of Christmas. But it's fascinating, again, the why. Why did the angels use these words? Did you know that in the history of the Roman Empire, these words were also written about Caesar Augustus? "We would have embraced our own destruction if Caesar hadn't have been born for the common benefit of us all." And so what the angel was doing was confronting the shepherds in that moment, confronting the people with these words: "You have safety and security and provision in some things in this natural world, but let me tell you about good news and great joy that is going to go beyond what you have presently experienced. We place all kinds of hope in things of this world. We say, if only I found the right job or the right employment, then I would have safety and security, right? But then we hear about web.com, people who thought they had security and safety in a particular job, in a particular skill set or training. I can remember, I'm old enough yet still young enough, to remember when the cotton mill closed in Yarmouth and when the tin mine shut down in Yarmouth. And so we have this good news of great joy, the things that we have placed security in, but the story of Christmas tells us that there is a good news of great joy that will be for all people, greater and gooder, if that's even a word, than the security that we can even find in this world around us. Sometimes we place our security in our elected officials. We say with disdain, "If only they had elected the one I voted for." Or sometimes we do get the one we voted for elected, and we say, "Yes, I got the one I voted for elected." But folks, elected officials and MPPs and MPs and mayors, there's never been one that's been perfect. And at the end of the day, our security cannot be found in them either. But the angel says to us that there is a story, there is a message of good news and great joy that is beyond all the security that we can find in this life, that will be there and be present beyond this. Sometimes we think we have joy when our favorite team wins. And then, of course, if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan and you get a couple wins under your belt, you know it's done for the season after that. So you might as well celebrate. It's a shame that Rachel and Yvonne are not here this morning. They would have appreciated that. As I've said, I am impartial when it comes to hockey because my favorite team, I've changed my mind. I have a new favorite team. My favorite team this year is Graham Construction, Pee-wee. My favorite player is number 15, left winger Benjamin Hill. So I figure it's safest to pledge my hockey allegiances that way. But there's a story of Christmas of great joy and good news that will be for all people that brings greater joy and better news than even the victory of your favorite team. And how many of you know that even church leaders and pastors, we can disappoint in big or small ways as well. Even really, really great ones like Pastor Aaron and me, right? I was joking. It's okay to laugh. We look back and we've had great ministers. I hear lots of people talk about Pastor Trenum. He's passed away since then, but I hear a lot of people talk about Pastor Trenum in the 70s, how he was someone that people came in and got saved under and was impactful in that way. And I hear lots of people talk about the ministry of Pastor Cross, and they were here when he was here when they came into faith and salvation. And of course, remembering to pray for Pastor Cross over these next few weeks as well. We received word about a week ago that his health was declining again and that he was in the hospital in Kentville, and he likely wouldn't be coming out of the hospital. And so you can remember to pray for him and pray for his family. But folks, the story of Christmas is about good news and great joy that's even better than any of the great ministers, any of the great leaders, any of the great pastors that we have had and will have. The Proverbs tells us that the message of Jesus Christ is a message of one who sticks closer than a brother. The prophet Isaiah says the government will be upon his shoulders. And we learned last week that even though Caesar Augustus, the governing authorities, might make their decrees and have their say, the kingdom of God can step in. And when things look like they're falling out of place, God can be putting them right back into place. And so there is good news that can be found in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it trumps anything and everything we will find outside of that. The message closes with this: to the shepherds, this will be a sign unto you, they say. This will be a sign to you, the angel said, that what I'm telling you is the truth. The angel said, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This was a sign to them that they really did see an angel, that these things really were true, that there really was a Messiah coming, that they would find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. It was a particular sign. It wasn't something that they would see every day, babies lying in a manger. And they rushed off to Bethlehem to look for that sign. There's a sign for us today as well. It's the memory of the baby wrapped in cloths lying in the manger, yes. But we can't go to Bethlehem and actually see the baby laying there. But there is a sign to us today that tells us that all that we have been told, all that we have read, all that we have celebrated is indeed true. There's one, the testimony of changed lives. How can we argue with someone's experience? And there's going to be a testimony shared within a couple of minutes next Sunday night when we gather at the Mariner Center, a testimony of how God can take a life and can change it and turn it around. This is a sign to us today that our faith is not in vain. When we see people seeking God, when we see churches coming together in unity, in a day when the culture tells us that Christian faith and churches are largely outdated and unnecessary, yet we see churches coming together to cooperate, and we see what's taking place next Sunday night to be very likely the largest gathering that has ever taken place in Yarmouth in decades. And in fact, the Mariner Center staff said it may indeed be the largest gathering they've ever planned for and have prepared for, and they're very excited about that. When we see those things happening, this will be a sign to us that the message of Jesus Christ is not one that is outdated and it's past its best before date. When we see centuries of church history of competition and alternatives, yet still today, here we stand, the church stands strong. This is a sign unto us. When we see mistakes and errors and heresies that happen in church history and even in our own church history, sometimes we stand here today redeemed and we stand here today with a message. We know that Jesus Christ and his power are real and they are here. when we see the supernatural moving of God's Spirit here and outside of here, on street corners, in hospitals, that is a sign unto us. And so we celebrate this morning, folks. We're going to go have lunch in a couple of minutes. We celebrate as a church because we have seen the sign that was left for the shepherds that continues to be left for us today. And the sign tells us that it has borne fruit in our lives and in our church. Our church has increased in its capacity in the past year, and we are thankful for this. And we look forward to a 2020, believe it or not, a new decade, 2020, where there's going to be even greater harvest, where there's going to be even greater experiences of God's Spirit poured out upon us. And we're going to continue to preach the name of Jesus Christ and the message of gospel until Christ returns. Because the kingdom of heaven came and broke in with Jesus. We experience heaven when we allow God to move among us, and we know that heaven is coming again, that Jesus Christ is coming again in fullness. And it gives us reason to pause for a little while to celebrate, but then in a few weeks, in anticipation of the next year to come and to get ready for what the Lord is going to do again in our lives and in our church and in our heart. And so that's my Christmas blessing. I echoed that in the letter I sent to all of you with a card from our family, that this season, for these few weeks, we would rest and enjoy one another's company and enjoy the peace and the joy of the season in anticipation and in readiness that in a few weeks, when the calendar rolls over to 2020, we will be ready to walk into another year, another season of God's goodness in our life, of God's goodness to our assembly, and of God's Spirit being poured out in our town. Does that excite us about the coming of a new year? Let's pray together this morning. Let's stand together. If you are able to, let's stand together. We're going to pray this morning. I'm going to pray for the food as well. And then once we finish up here this morning, you can make your way downstairs and find a spot, and then we will get started shortly. But we'll be patient and we'll wait. We'll have someone at the chairlift as well if you need some assistance making it down. And as I said before, if you're here this morning hearing about this banquet for the first time, don't worry. You are more than welcome to stick around with us. We always have plenty. So please grab a chair at the table downstairs with us today. But Lord God, we thank you for this message of good news and great joy that will be for all people. Lord, we just pray this morning that this good news and great joy would not be a secret that we keep to ourselves, but Lord, that we would walk in it, we would experience it, we would let it flood over us, but then we would take it out once we have celebrated, once we have experienced it, we would take it out, and in 2020, we would go back out again, and we would be proclaiming your message in your name individually and corporately as a church, Lord God. We just pray that your Spirit would continue to pour out today and in the future as you have been doing in our assembly. But for now, Lord, we just pray a blessing in this moment on the food that is ready for us, on the food that has been brought. And I just pray that the conversations will be rich, that the food will be satisfying, and that the fellowship will be great, and that we will leave today having such a great sense that you are with us, that your joy and your peace is shared among us in the fellowship of us together. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen.